Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. We've got Doc Emrick's retirement. We've got Joe Thornton heading to Toronto. And we've got the beginning of our first episode with Kyle Demetrius, the crossover, ridiculous moments in hockey history. We're talking Operation Slapshot, and it's all coming up next in a Tuesday edition of Locked On Red Wings.
Your Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 20th, 2020, and I am your host, Detroit sports writer Nolan Bianchi. We've got longtime Red Wings fan Ethan Smith alongside with us. Ethan, what's going on?
Hi.
And we have Kyle Demetrius in the Locked On Sharks podcast doing a little bit something different. We teased it on yesterday's episode. We're going over some of the most ridiculous moments in hockey history. We're going to start, though, a little bit elsewhere. Because Doc Emrick, we all woke up today to the news that he had retired, so I want to touch a little bit on that. And then we also have a surprise edition of Dancing on Graves. I'm really excited to get to that. I hope you guys are as well. And let's just open it up with Dancing on Graves. Kyle, we're dancing on your grave today. Jumbo Joe is gone.
I've been ambushed.
The San Jose Sharks.
This is horseshit.
Signs a one-year deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs with the hopes that he will eventually capture the prize that he could not capture in San Jose. Are you dancing? I'm dancing.
No, should I do the bit I did on the national show on this show?
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
That's how I feel.
I like that a lot. In all seriousness, I mean, were you surprised by this? Did you expect him to come back another year, but with the Sharks? Did you expect him to go sign with a contender? I mean, fill us in here.
There's lots of levels to this. There's lots of layers, like an onion or a Taylor Swift album.
Quote from Shrek.
Yeah, exactly. Or a parfait. Did you expect him to leave? Sort of. Is San Jose bad? Yes, that's the problem, is that even after they lost the Blues in the 2019 Western Conference Finals, he said, I'm back. I'm a Shark forever, whatever. There's only one team for me. I'm coming back. So we knew he was coming back last year, but he's only been signing one-year deals every single year. So there's kind of like a will-he-won't-he kind of situation that's going on. So eventually everyone thought he was going to leave. What makes it tough is that he left for a team that hasn't won a playoff series since before he joined the Sharks.
To win a cup.
So
maybe he's the missing piece.
That's the problem too, is that the Leafs are really good. Like if the Leafs won the cup next year, I don't think anybody would really be shocked.
No.
You'd be like, okay, they're really good. That makes a lot of sense that they did that, and they added some veteran pieces. So it's bittersweet almost, because he's been in most of Sharks fans' lives their entire time being a fan. Mm-hmm. Like 2005 is 15 years ago. I was only 16. I was a kid, essentially. Lots of Sharks fans joined up when he traded there around that time. Sharks are only 28 seasons deep. So he is everything that Sharks. And the thing, too, is that he's really cool. He is the coolest guy. He's one of the coolest guys in the NHL. So if Patrick Marleau leaves, whatever, he's just kind of like a cornball. And Joe Pavelski leaves, whatever. Joe Thornton is cool as hell. So there's a lot of emotions, and I think people have come to terms with he's leaving. But then when it was Toronto, that's a whole nother ball of wax that, yeah.
Does the fact that you have Marleau back, like, make it better or worse? Because in my head, I was like, well, at least I got Marleau back. Like, that'll help cushion some of the blow. But, like,
Marlo's
at the end of the day,
twice already.
Yeah, and it could be one of those things where you're like, oh, like, it's almost a resentful thing. Like, what are you doing here, huh?
Marlo's the boyfriend that won't move out of your house. And he just keeps coming back. And you're like, no, he's changed this time. And then 3 months later, he leaves. And then 2 months after that, you're like, no, he's changed this time. So it's cool that he's back again because he's going to break Gordie Howe's record, that bum, in teal, which is pretty sweet. He's only 44 games or 45 games away from doing it. So he'll do that in a San Jose sweater, which is cool.
Would like to see a nice 40-game season this year.
I was actually thinking if they do a half season at 41, he won't break it.
Yeah.
It'll be four games
short. Because playoff games don't count, right?
Right, just regular season. Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be really funny if they did that. But
that just means he has to come back once again, and he's just going to be a part of San Jose forever.
Yeah, he's literally part of the furniture. But he's just not as cool as Joe Thornton. And also, Joe Thornton won the Hart and the Art Ross. Joe Thornton was one of the best players. He's what, one of the top 20 best players of all time?
Yeah.
You just don't get that with Patrick Marleau. So Marleau's cool, and it's going to be awesome to see Mr. Shark break Mr. Hockey's record. It's going to be neat, but there's not the same sting as Joe Thornton. This was sad.
So let's play a hypothetical game.
Yeah.
It is round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The San Jose Sharks are not playing. But the Toronto Maple Leafs do the Toronto Maple Leafs become your team to go win the cup?
I'm pretty sure every Sharks fan has been grappling with this. I don't know. My honest answer is I don't know. I have no idea. Everything that I've lived for these 31 years says you cannot cheer for the Leafs. But at the same time, Joe Thornton lifting the cup would be really, really cool. So I'm unsure. I think at the beginning of the playoffs, I would be anti-Leafs, but if they actually made it to like the Eastern Conference Finals or the Stanley Cup Finals, I think you have to go for them. Yeah, but I haven't really thought about it. That's a scenario that I'm going to let future Kyle deal with.
What did you think about Spezza keeping 19?
It's horseshit.
I thought so too.
Why? Jason Spezza has been around for just as long as Joe
Thornton. He's not Joe Thornton.
It doesn't matter. Like, it's like
also, he hasn't. Joe Thornton was drafted in 1997.
Yeah, but still, I don't know.
Joe Thornton, Pierre LeBrun tweeted out that Jason Spezza texted Joe Thornton and said he offered his number, but Thornton, I feel like at that point, the Toronto brass should have stepped in, or like before, when they signed Thornton, maybe sent a message to Spezza like, hey, just pick a new number, offer it to Thornton. If he says no, just say you've already picked a new number and let it go. Thornton's wearing his Team Canada number, or his HC Davos number, 97. So he's the best 97.
That's a good number. I was actually thinking that was probably the number he was going to go with, which whatever his draft year was.
And he wears it for HC Davos, and he's the best 97 in the league now. So
I am trying to like think of like I because like we went through this as a Tigers fan, like when Justin Verlander left. No. Justin Verlander. Like when he left, it was kind of the end. It was fine. That was the final waving of the white flag from the Tigers front office, where it was like, all right, we're done trying to compete. Be free. Go ahead. And like he went to the Astros, and the Astros at that point were the plucky upstart, and like all baseball was behind them. So that was a really easy thing to root for. But I can't imagine if he went to like Boston or the Yankees or something like that. But
yeah, that's like Thornton went to the team that tells everybody at the beginning of year, every September, that they're winning the cup for 54 straight years.
Yeah.
There has not been a Leafs team that hasn't been the preseason cup winners. So that's the frustration, is that it's like, okay, you could have went, I would have been happy if you went to Vegas. Like that would have been fine.
Should have went back to Boston. That would have been so much fun.
He hates Boston.
Well,
makes sense.
Mend the fence there.
Bury the hatches.
Thanks for being a good sport on that. I knew I was going to surprise you with that.
That was completely out of nowhere. So the outline said the two things we're talking about, and then we're like dancing on graves. My face was like, "What are we talking about?"
Oh, I saw it.
this has been the third, fourth straight podcast I've been on talking about Joe Thornton. Now I'm getting it all out of my system, like just like a drunk guy just puking up all my excess alcohol.
How long do you think it'll take to get over it?
Never. It's Never. Sad, man. This is like the last piece of my childhood gone forever. He's like when you're a kid, like when you guys were growing up watching the Red Wings, when Yzerman left and Fedorov was gone and Lidstrom finally retired. Like Lidstrom would have been the analogous person here, arguably the best modern defenseman. And he finally retired. It's just like, there's your childhood just gone.
So, gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's similar to
For Thor. Me, you know what's funny? For me, like that was Pavel Datsyuk. Like he came into the league. His rookie season was 2002. I was six. And then from then on, I didn't know a life without Pavel Datsyuk. until like 2015. I just remember like the feeling of him going, the feeling of him entering the neutral zone with a full head of steam for the last time. There was like 54 seconds counting down the clock, and I was just like,
engraved in my
mind. Oh my God, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like big fan of Pavel Datsyuk entering.
So, my actual condolences out to you. I'm not trying to be rude. I don't know if you noticed I backpedaled off my dancing on graves.
No. It's fine. Honestly, it's fine. I talk the most shit in real life and on the podcast, so like it's totally okay. I get it. It's just a thing that I like discovered while talking this out with multiple strangers that I've never met in real life is that not many teams can watch their best player and have their whole fan base watch him leave at the same time. So, like, Detroit's best player ever is Gordie Howe, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to say that. But if you want to pick a more modern one, it's Steve Yzerman. And even Steve Yzerman, he retired in what, the early 2000s?
I think it was like 2006 or 7.
That late? So there's still a big chunk of the fan base that didn't really have the Steve Yzerman effect, you know what I mean? Yeah, whereas San Jose is so young that it would be like...
He is the franchise.
Exactly. He is the franchise. Yeah. It'd be like if Rusty Klesla retired from Florida.
All right, well, we're gonna get to the ending of another era here in just a second with Doc Emmerich announcing his retirement today. But first, I gotta talk to you guys real quick about rockauto.com. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Kyle, I don't know what you guys got going on in Canada. You drive a car?
I drive a 2017 Honda Accord Sport.
Bad things happen to it every now and then?
Occasionally.
Yeah, it's a Honda.
Do you go to rockauto.com?
I do.
And why do you like to do that? Because it saves you money?
Yes.
Because their online catalog is unique and easy to navigate?
Of course.
Because it saves you the time of going to the local auto store and having the counterman tell you that you're not a real man because you don't know how to replace a battery?
As a millennial, nobody wants to hear that, so yes.
Absolutely. So go to rockauto.com. Take our friend Kyle's advice. Get there right now. Their prices are always reliably low and the same for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. There's no sense in spending up to twice as much for the same auto parts when the rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your car, like a 2017 Honda, and choose the brands, whatever brands you like, specifications, you know, your specific things, and prices that you prefer. So go to rockauto.com right now and just do us a favor, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. They've got amazing selection. They've got reliably low prices, and they've got all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. And, of course, we also have to talk to you guys today about Built Go. Now, Built Go wants to know, what is your wall? For me personally, it's waking up in the morning every single day. Instead of reaching for the energy drink now I go for the Built Go, because whether it's mental or physical, you can break through your wall every day with Go. It's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, put it in your golf bag to get through the back nine, or put it in your back pocket just to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It combines their energy gel with collagen protein that's fast absorbing, so it gets into my system quick. Plus, it is easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work with beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Just visit BuiltGo.com right now and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go! All right, we're back. Segment 2 here at the Locked On Red Wings podcast. While I was doing advertisements, my friends Kyle and Ethan were texting each other about something. I'm not really sure.
Part of the Kyle Brotherhood.
Texting a bit. It's fine. I just checked my phone expecting to be filled in on the joke, but I had no messages, so I guess you guys were just excluding me, which is fine. But we're going to talk about Doc Emmerich now.
Three messages. Oh, five messages.
All right. If that's how it is, then I get it.
Sorry.
No, it's good to know. Actually, I That's actually very good to know. We got to talk about Doc Emrick. He's retiring today after 40 years in the business. Ethan, let's hear your, what is it called?
Eulogy.
Eulogy. Thank you, Kyle, for Doc Emrick.
Sad I won't be able to hear Waffle Boarded anymore. That's too bad. I usually watch CBC, so yeah. CBC playoffs are kind of where I go.
Don't be a hater. Doc Emrick to me is one of the best. I think he is the best outside of you know, the guys we got here in Detroit. I'm a little bit biased in that respect. But as far as like American broadcasters go, just the best hockey announcer around. He just has so much energy, and I know some people don't like him because of the crazy words that he uses, but also, like, why are you taking yourself so seriously? It's a hockey game. It's supposed to be fun, and I always thought with Doc Emrick, one thing that could not be said about him is that it ever sounded like he was rooting for a particular team, which is something that a lot of big-time announcers of flack that they kind of catch, and I think that after doing this for 40 years, to still have that energy and passion and really just quick wit, quick with the tongue, it's just so impressive what he did and how long he did it for.
The problem for me is that we don't really get Doc Emrick here because he's NBC, right? So we get all the CBC, TSN, yeah. Sportsnet guys. So when you do hear Doc Emrick, it's like listening to a crack addict for the first time.
Yeah, but at least he says Detroit and not Detroit.
Detroit. The Elliot Friedman Detroit.
Why do Canadians do that?
I don't know. Why do they say that? I'm going to Google that. But
it's a pretty common thing.
Oh, yeah. I know. I think probably more than half of my – here, I'll ask the other person in the room. How do you say Detroit? Detroit or Detroit? Detroit. Okay. So, yeah, like half the people in my life probably say Detroit. I don't know. But, yeah, we don't really get Doc Emrick a lot. So it's kind of weird listening to, like, coming from Gord Miller or Bob Cole, who I think is the best hockey announcer ever, which I don't think is a controversial – statement.
Who was the CBC guy that just retired a couple years ago?
Bob Cole.
Was that Bob Cole? Okay.
The old guy that talked like this. We are doing a podcast.
I love that.
Yeah, Bob Cole is the best. Yeah. But he was getting old, man. He's like in his 80s, and he lost his fastball a little bit, and it was just kind of getting rough. So, yeah, Doc Emrick is not really somebody I have a very strong opinion on. I personally didn't like his style of play-by-play call. I do like that he was really super into stuff, but there's only so many times an icing can be called, like it's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals before you're like, I got to turn this off. But he called a lot of stuff, and he was really good for a really, really long time. So you got to get hat tip to Doc Emrick.
Absolutely.
He's way better than people give him credit for, I think, in this day and age, especially when you flip like the Boston broadcast and hear Jack Edwards going off. Like, he's so good at his job, and just if your style didn't line up, then your style didn't line up. And in Canada, we didn't get a lot of Doc Emrick. So it's just hard to – it's hard to be for a guy or against a guy when you hear him three times.
He looks really good for being 74.
I was shocked. No, dude. I kept hearing like 45 years on the mic, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, I always assumed he was like low 60s, like right now.
Yeah.
I would have assumed that.
Guy eats his vegetables.
Yeah. It takes his omega-3s.
I also learned that he was born in Indiana.
Is that good?
How does that make you guys feel?
It makes me feel good. Because
he's the first person I've ever met that's from Indiana, or not met, but know of.
Gordon Hayward, hello.
Gordon Hayward from Indiana.
I don't know. He went to Butler. Butler's in Indiana. Reggie Miller, hello. Mike Pence, your Lord and Savior.
I just want to go back to something you said about, like, if you listen to it, it really is remarkable. And I think that, especially being in Detroit, like, we are very spoiled with great play-by-play guys across every sport. You got George Blaha and for the Pistons, Ken Daniels and Ken Kale and Mickey Redmond for the Red Wings. Like, that's just unreal. And, you know, just it goes on and on. The Lions, the Tigers, they've always had great radio guys. It really is kind of fascinating. And maybe it is just one of those things where it's not like, oh, just this guy isn't my cup of tea. But, like, you listen to, like, other teams' broadcasts and you're like, how do you watch every game, like, with this broadcast crew?
Yeah, San Jose is kind of lucky because they have Randy Hahn, who's good for a while, and they have Dan Rusinowski on play-by-play.
Is he the guy that goes, "They score"?
Yeah. Dan Rusinowski is the best.
Is that him? I hate him. No. He's one of my least favorite announcers. And I think it's because, I don't know if this is correct or not, but I think it probably has something to do with those playoff series back in like the early 2000s.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
You would just hear it a lot. They score!
Yeah, I love Andrew. He's my favorite play-by-play announcer of all time. But yeah, so San Jose has some good play-by-play or some good commentators. I couldn't imagine living in an area with horrendous commentators. That'd be so bad.
Yeah, like the Tigers is not great. And it really, like, no criticism against Matt Shepard. I think Matt Shepard is a great guy. I love him on the radio, but it's just, like, not a good fit. And they keep putting him with these, like, analysts who are just, like, former players, just completely eyes glossed over. They're just literally just the oldest people you can possibly find to watch a baseball game. It's just a bummer, frankly. But, yeah.
I have a question for you guys. Did you guys know that the king of pop, Michael Jackson, was born in Indiana?
I did not.
No. I just found that out. He was born in Gary, Indiana.
I know. Really? How long did he live there? Is he like a son of Indiana, or is he like a Kanye West, where Kanye was born in Brooklyn but moved to Chicago?
I would have to imagine. I could click on the Wikipedia, but I don't really feel like it. Jenna Fisher was also born in Indiana.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That's it. That's my Indiana.
Jenna Fisher, facts. the Blues super fan.
Oh, don't you mean the Vegas super fan? The Dallas super fan.
Yeah,
wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, who won the cup this year? Don't you mean the Tampa Bay Lightning super fan, Jenna Fisher?
Oh, she likes hockey.
Last note here on Doc Emrick. Do you know why they call him Doc?
No, I don't. Idolize Dr. J.
No, he has a PhD in communications.
He's packing?
But still, he has a PhD. Very cool. That's all for Doc Emrick. We're going to move on to Operation Slapshot, the fiasco surrounding the Arizona or the Phoenix Coyotes, then known as the Phoenix Coyotes, like back in 2006. So keep it locked in right here to the Locked On Red Wings podcast, a proud member of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. All right, we're back for
like a Will Ferrell at Old School, and he's like, "I'm back."
All right, I'm not even going to try and attempt to do that again. It is the third segment of the day here at the Locked On Red Wings podcast. There we go. We got to talk about Operation Slapshot, boys. Now, here's the deal. We're going to run the full episode on tomorrow's show, where we're going to give you a little sneak peek on some of the details. And I also want to kick it to you guys for this question. What are some other notorious sports scandals that come to mind?
Isn't the biggest sports scandal of all time the Black Sox of like 1917? Help me, baseball people.
Well, I guess the Astros right now are neck deep still in a pretty all-time scandal.
Yeah, baseball. But, yeah. Also, baseball didn't let black people in for a long time.
Yeah,
baseball just sports didn't. Baseball is kind of boring to watch, but baseball also has the most hilarious history because it goes back to 1867 or whatever.
Yeah,
it's the funniest sport. Like, there's a dude, one of the most legendary baseball players of all time. His name is Pi Trainer. Like, you're not getting that in any other sport.
Yeah, so,
baseball's hilarious, but I guess sports scandals. I'd say Black Sox is the most famous one, but I also feel like it was done in 1917, so nobody really has a good handle on it anymore. It's just kind of a thing.
Yeah, so Operation Slapshot, for those of you who don't remember, was basically a sports gambling scandal where Rick Tocchet, Wayne Gretzky / Wayne Gretzky's wife, and the general manager for the Phoenix Coyotes, and a couple players were all pretty much alleged to have taken part and this massive gambling ring. And I think it would be tough to actually like be involved in a scandal that had a direct impact on the actual hockey game outside of sports betting, because like, there's just not a lot of, I don't really know. There's a ton of room for cheating in hockey.
I guess if you're a goalie, you can kind of swing a bad goal every once in a while, but
you not really like you really, and that's just like natural in the heat of the moment, but like, you're always going to get caught. And if you don't get caught, it's not cheating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy for a goalie to get benched too, if he just starts letting in goals to cover the spread.
I'm guessing Yeah. I'm guessing the spread of one in hockey. I'm guessing it's has to do with like the management and the coaches. They can play guys like less minutes, but that would become noticeable, I feel. It's not like basketball where you can just miss shots at
night. We could just say we're like evaluating talent. And
yeah, but are you really going to bench like
maybe that's what the Red Wings
Dylan Mantha? They're
Dylan Mantha. You just combine them into one player. You might
they're
as well,
one they're frankly, one human. I couldn't decide which one I wanted to pick and went with Dylan Mantha. No, but if they benched Dylan Larkin and started playing him 15 minutes instead of 20 minutes, it would become noticeable after a couple games. Whereas in basketball, I feel like you can miss shots or let your guy score on you a little bit easier, get those garbage time. There's no garbage
time.
Same
with football too. Same with football as well.
Yeah, there's no garbage time is the big issue.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that is like there is no spread really. So you're not often going to like win the game, but still make sure the spread gets covered. Because like the puck line is 1.5, and I think if it falls in the middle of that, it's just a push. So I mean, you can like bet the money line, but also it doesn't really. I just feel like there's not that much room for like shenanigans.
You're basically betting winners or losers in hockey, and then you pick like overtime or regulation, but that's not
or overs.
Overs. I guess you could do the overs, but at the same time, it's not like many games are out there going 6-4. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Huh? Maybe hockey is the number one gambling proof or scandal proof game.
I would like to think so. But we will find out tomorrow why that might not necessarily be true, Kyle, because the Phoenix Coyotes could have possibly had a hand in testing out that theory. We will talk about it more in tomorrow's episode. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe. Thanks so much to Kyle for joining us today. We'll be lucky to have him back on again tomorrow. You can follow him on Twitter where?
At Kyle Demetrius.
At Kyle Demetrius. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. It's your team every day.